Council as a Hartford Living Treasure. Mr. Willard, where and when were you born?
Born 1925 in Boone, North Carolina.
And could you describe a little bit what your family, your mom, dad, brothers and sisters had some?
Yes, sir. My dad was married twice. He had three sons and a girl by the first marriage. He married my mother, and it was three boys and a girl by the second marriage.
So I had a large family.
Yeah, I had a large family.
Right. Why and when did you move into Hartford County?
We moved to Hartford County, I think it was 1929. And my dad moved up here because, well, he was a farmer and had a country grocery store. And he didn't have a market for the stuff he had and things he had to sell. So he came up here one time and he brought a load of cabbage up to Baltimore and sold them for a penny a head. At least he had some market, which he had none where we lived. And he knew a couple of people who lived here that moved up and talked with them, and he thought it was the best thing to do to move up here. So that's when we moved.
So Hartford County was an economic reason.
He thought so.
Okay. When you first came to Hartford County that many years ago, what was the county like?
Very rural. Very rural. No subdivision, no housing being built. Well, it was really something. Someone built a new house in your neighborhood, which was, I don't remember one being built, really.
Where did you move into when you first came to camp?
We moved to Upper Harvard, Rutledge.
Now, I believe, am I correct? Rutledge is near Falston area?
Yep.
Is that correct?
No, my dad worked on the farm. Worked for Charlie Rutledge one time.
Okay. Can you describe a little bit what your childhood was like having moved here to Hartford County?
Well, it was, I said, at the beginning of the Depression, and things were really tough. They were tough all over. I'm sure we were very poor, but I didn't realize we were poor until Roosevelt got in and later on and told us we were poor. And they came around, people at that time, and we had some little pigs, and they told them to shoot the pig, kill the pig. Dad said, but damn, we killed his pigs. So it was rough. I used to think in later years, if I ever got $10,000, I'd really have it made. I'd be the big wheel on the street. You know, that's the way things were. That's when money was really, really a very important thing, and there wasn't much of it.
Did you, as a child, did you have a lot of chores you had to do?
By then, I wouldn't leave. If there wasn't such a thing as time off or vacation, if you weren't working, you were playing. He said, if you want to do, I'll give you something to do. And he did.
So you were busy pretty much all the time?
Well, I used to hate to pull out yellow top. He used to pull it out of the alfalfa in the spring. And I thought that was a dumb thing to do, but we had to do it anyway.
You say yellow top?
You know, the wild mustard, I think you call it.
Okay.
Blue yellow in the spring, you know?
Yes. And so you had to go out there and you had to do that. How about any kind of social life? Did you have activities and things that you did growing up at that time?
Well, I think school and church, I guess.
And like the church would have like socials and things like that?
Yeah, and the school would have a strawberry festival and that sort of thing. And as a matter of fact, back those days, things were tough even in school because the old teacher had what they call an all-in day. So the kids could brought no one in to school and so on got what they could and they'd buy books. She'd buy books with them. It wasn't much, could he?
Talk about old hen day.
Hey, As a matter of fact, in the fall of the year, a lot of children, they didn't come to school for the first month or two. They would stay home and finish up with tomato picking and so forth, and whoever had beans was picking, and so they didn't come to school for those months.
They were needed on the farm.
Which I think is wrong today. I mean, they whack it, you know.
Times have changed.
They
sure have.
Maybe in that case, maybe for the better, I don't know.
Well, you mentioned Miss Hattie Bagley was a teacher. Do you remember any other teachers' names that you had?
Archie Greer.
Was that Gwendolyn Greer's wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's still living.
She is.
Yeah. She's still living out there on Thing about carpet anyway. And I was trading money over all his old assure you, I didn't know what I was doing. We were flaring up a little traction one time, and I drove a nail right through the electric wire. I said, my God, they'll fire me out. But he didn't. He didn't. The guy, I guess he liked it. He kept me on. You know?
Yeah. So that was another good experience for you.
It was a good experience. And the money kept rolling in. Yeah. I thought that was wonderful. You know, it was about a quarter hour.
Well, then, I guess somewhere along the line, you decided you wanted to be an auctioneer, didn't you?
Well, I went to Indiana. I went to Indiana. And went to Robert School of Auctioneering. I don't know how long it was, 3 weeks or whatever, a month, I don't know. And then came back. And I sold automobiles at auction for Page Richardson. And then I went to Mannheim, PA. I worked at Mannheim for years up there. They had a big auto auction. Matter of fact, we used to run 500-600 cars a day, but now they run 2,000-3,000 a day up in LA. There was one other auctioneer when I started, and now I think they've got so many lanes, they sell cars, and they, I could have about 15 or 18 auctioneers.
When you were selling cars for Page Richardson, were you selling them up there on Route 1 just outside of Bel Air? Were you selling them
right
today?
Birthday party for kids, something, $3 or whatever. And And my friends, they were pretty good, too. So, anyway, the day after the race was over, Bonzi decided, I guess, to come home, which he did. So I, after the race was over, I said, I decided I'm going to leave that. So I went from there to Denver, Colorado, and I got a job in a supermarket. Well, I'd worked in Belair after school, somewhere in a supermarket for Charlie Richardson. He used to have a supermarket on Main Street, and he's the boss of that.
Was that Acme, or was it Acme?
Yeah, Charlie Richardson. Anyway, I run a cash register there, so I could do that. So I got a job at Miller's supermarket in Denver. It was 90 cents an hour. I was up. I wasn't bad, I thought at the time. So anyway, I hadn't been there for a month or so. They wanted to go on strike. You know, the only thing I remember is for $1 an hour for us. I said, hell, I was going on strike. You know, I didn't care about strikes anyway. Hell, if I wasn't satisfied with what I got, when they hired me, why would I be satisfied? What I wanted to go on strike for? So anyway, then when I was striking, I wouldn't go to walk the lines. And so finally, they didn't get $1 an hour. And then I called Melvin up, Mosley. I said, why don't you come on out? Which he did. He came out. He got a job as a milkman. So then we hung around a little. I'll say a little money, a buck. You could do it. You watch what you're doing. Had a little money out of the store of the treasure. And then we decided we'd go to California. Well, we didn't go direct there. We went down south to Mexico and into Mexico and went around some. Then we went to California, and he got a job at Douglas Aircraft Plant. So I didn't get a job for 3 or 4 weeks, and I finally got a job out there as a spray painter. I'd never even seen a spray gun. But anyway, we were painting these big panels of aluminum on the planes. And we worked there for, I don't know, about that winter. So then we got some cooking utensils to get camping out. So we went up through Northern California and into the state of Oregon, I guess it was. And this is an old friend that we've known back here. Going out there and married some gal there. And got him a Fred Wolf. Okay, and stayed with him a couple nights. And then we were going to go to Alaska. The Alcan Highway. And then we found out it was washed out and you couldn't get out anyway. It was all gravel in those days. So then, well, he decided he'd sell his car and come home. So anyway, he came home, and so later on, well, I think I came back to Denver. And he decided he'd come home. He did. And later on, a few months later, I decided I'd come home. That's when I got home. That's when I hooked up with Bob. Mm-hmm. And then we worked for him for a year or so, and he never paid the bill. I used to talk with John D. Wood, and I said, he paid a bill for advertising. He said, no, I hadn't got his money yet. So he had Bob, he just wouldn't pay the bills, you know, stuff. That was bad on us, you know, it was a bad name, so we said, hell with this, so we had a year, so we applied for our brokerage license and got it. And I think at that time, we were the youngest brokerage in the county, in the state, really.
So about what year was that, Mr. Wolf?
You know, I can't say, it was probably 50.
Okay.
And I'm giving you these things, it could be a year one way or the other.
Okay.
Probably 50. But then we were on our own and had almost we ran it from Charles Johnson on off. number of years. I think it was two rooms, one room, front room and back room. I don't know who's there now. And so that's the beginning of the career in real estate, but.
Yeah. How long were you out west altogether? I know you're moving from place to place.
Oh,
but
well, a year and a half, maybe.
About a year and a half?
Yeah.
And then eventually you got back here and then you established right in downtown Bel Air.
Yeah.
And when would you have done that?
Early
saw anything, and all of a sudden you're able to create these developments. Well, we'll change back.
It was tough selling all along because many people hadn't moved here yet. And look, it was thought it was a long ways to travel out of Baltimore City up to Harford County. So that's the way it continued for several years. It was tough sledding. It really didn't ease up until, really, I would say, in the beginning of the last part of the 80s or the beginning of the 90s, before it eased up like it is now, started selling fast and people started moving up here.
What do you think created this desire on the part of people to move up here and allow them to do it?
Well, I'm going to tell you most people won't like, well, anyway, they know it, but to kind of keep right, is because of the blacks. So there are blacks in the city, they want to move out here. And the thing is, they just want to get away from it.
The highways, did they have any effect, do you think?
Well,
the people move out here?
They had tremendous effect, there's no question about it. Matter of fact, the 40 had a little bit of effect, but that was finished over in the late 30s or 40s. But the big effect then in 95 had our people get a straight shot into the Baltimore City. So that was the big effect really in the county.
When you were growing up as a young man and you lived in Rutledge area, let's say, or even measure if you can from by, how long would it have taken you to get to Baltimore? You have an idea? You know, when you were a kid?
Oh, probably an hour, I guess.
Over an hour? Of course, today we can
probably... streets were up, old cobblestone streets, and everything was really rough down there.
So, today you can probably make it, what, 25 minutes, half an hour? Half the time, right?
I would imagine,
yeah.
But I must tell you this, the man that stumped and built this house, he was in charge of the Baltimore, I can't think of the word. This is what I've been told, anyway. I was stuck and moving through the city, the grizzly coming, what do you call that?
Commerce.
He was in charge of that, and the duties and things. And he used to have the man in a buggy, and he used to take him from here down to Abington to catch the, I think it was a B&O train in the city. And he could go in the city by train, but by his quick. So this is what I've been told.
Okay.
So he'd take a buggy down to Med, down the way, and they would grab it and sit in back every day.
Because of the train.
Very good.
Well, the transportation system, as you've already pointed out, our roads and all have changed, allowing people to come out here. Did the fact that World War II was over and the men were coming back from the service, you think, impact buying homes?
Well, no. Most of the stuff we sold was local. No, it didn't get very few people out of the city. I remember when you couldn't even, the hottest part of the county now is Falls today. We couldn't even give a lot away up there. They don't want to come up there. There was no reason. So
you see how things were. That's because Falston's so rural in those days.
I guess they wouldn't go up there now. My son, he's paying well over $100,000 a lot for a lot to build up there. Matter of fact, I was up with him yesterday and saw some lots. He bought 90 at that price.
Well, this is your son, Bob Ward, who's also in developing.
He just sold his real estate brokerage.
Let me ask you just a few other questions, too. This is kind of a little off from real estate, but you were close there when you built Howard Park. The old fairgrounds and the old racetrack. Did you ever go to any races there?
Yeah, I sure did.
What do you recall about the track?
Well, I thought it was just very exciting to go there. I was a youngster the first time I was there. I thought it was very exciting. For an old country boy like me, it was an exciting place to go.
It always seemed like there was a prevalence of $2 bills when racing season came along. Did you notice that?
Well, I didn't have that much money, so I didn't notice much of that. But I'm sure there was, because there were $2 bets, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tennessee Walking Horse, but maybe some folks don't know.
Well, some people think it's an old man's horse.
Did you have to travel with them? Or?
No. We at this time, you never compete with a world champion. You never take him in competition again. I mean, he's reached the top road, but the way he can go is down.
So they use it for breeding purposes?
You're retired from your businesses now. What are you doing with yourself these days?
Well, I can't do much again. See the read. I can't walk. So I'm in a pretty different situation. And I don't go anywhere unless someone, my wife takes me or someone drives me because I can't see them. Well, I can see, but I can't do it very well. So I can't drive. I don't drive anymore. So if somebody takes me, I go. I'm right here.
So,
without a good government, they don't pay it.
Well,
he was a rough.